Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and good to be with our listeners.
Bob, we have a series of questions from listeners. Let's get right into our questions. The first one comes from Henry Solomon in El Paso. Hello, Bob and Jim. Is the IRX a good way to track U.S. T-bill rates? You have been stressed.
I'll answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good proxy for it. Yep.
You've been stressing that short-term interest rates go up in a boom and down in a bust. The chart of the IRX appears to indicate that the U.S. T-bill rate has been rising for the past 12 months. How would you interpret this?
Yeah. Short rates go up in a boom, and then they go down. They're still going up.
Our second question comes from Ken. Hi, Bob and Jim. Following your line of thinking that with the current inversion of the yield curve, a recession will ensue, thus heralding a decline in short-term interest rates. With that scenario, what would you project might be the 10 and 30-year U.S. Treasury bond rates, and how long might it take to reach those levels?
Yeah, good question. The interest rate market gets very complex, so we'll just give it a little wrap here. Once it gets into the contraction, T-bill rates will go down. Junk will go no bid, so rates go soaring up. And then even for long-dated treasuries, every great financial boom, you adjust it for the rate of inflation. And real long rates go down in the boom, and then they go up, and they go up really big time. So there will be time, junk bonds will go no bid, and there will be times when longer dated treasuries will get hit as well. It's not even a trader's market for long treasuries unless you're very nimble. So, and then on the longer picture, there are two things that define the end of the long contraction. One is very low commodity prices, and the other is low, long-dated interest rates in the treasuries.
Lastly, from our friend...
Now we got another question.
Yes, we do. Yeah, another two questions here from Ken.
Yeah.
If your related hypothesis is correct and the U.S. moves to a currency backed by gold, what might be a reasonable dollar price for an ounce of the yellow metal?
Yeah, that's a good question. Some of the gold bugs out there think that for every dollar that's floating around out there, you have to have a dollar's worth of gold to back it. But no, if you look back to the example with the President Grant administration in the 1870s, that bubble completed in 1873, and then you went into the contraction. And I think it was 1875 when President Grant then decided that the currency, even the former greenback, was now gold-backed. And on a certain date, say 1878, and everybody was worried that there'd be too much of a demand for gold, but as we know, currency is much more convenient to use than gold. So there was more gold came into the treasury than went out. So as to going back on a gold standard, my guess is it'll be at whatever the market is, and then you have a new point in history where the full faith and credit of the government will be to honor that gold standard, gold convertibility. Yeah.
Lastly, from Ken, if the world moves in the direction of sound money, will the watchword then be, don't take any wooden bitcoins?
Very good, Ken. I like that one. Yep.
Our next question comes from our good friend, Bert Venkenbach. Good morning, Bob and Jim. Bob always says that in a credit contraction, the dollar will get considerably firmer. I have no doubt about that. But recently, the dollar broke downwards from its five-month consolidation pattern. How serious is this, and what are the consequences? Thank you, and have a nice weekend.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Bert. Yeah, that was a nice long base was building with some pretty big swings in it for the DX. But here's the curiosity, and I wrote it up in yesterday's piece. In May, the dollar index, the DX, rallied up to 104 when everybody was worrying about inflation. And then they come out with the inflation number, it's back down to 3, and in a few months it'll be back down to 2, and then after that, who knows, 0. But at any rate, so with the backing off of inflation, the U.S. dollar sold off very hard. I think it's just, you know, a loss of confidence in the administration, possible constitutional crisis coming up, all kinds of things going on out there. I don't think it's setting a downtrend. I think it's just a one of those strange whacks in the market, and it should find stability in here somewhere.
Some questions for me, Bob.
Yeah.
GICs in Canada now are paying about 5.5%. How do they stack up against short-term Treasury bills?
Well, Treasury bills are lower.
Well, simple as that.
And, well, you got a difference in quality.
Yeah.
So GICs have more risk, so you get higher yield.
Now, also, I found out from a recent article, you know, there's limitations in the amount of cash you can take across a border in most countries. The mob is getting around that by using Pokemon cards, which, you know, if a certain Pokemon character has pretty well a set value if you're a collector, there's no limit on the number of Pokemon cards you can import or export. Apparently, mobsters in London love Pokemon cards, and now the shops that sell them are being robbed because those cards are worth more than their face value.
Oh, my God, what a story, Jim. That's incredible.
And I think this is a lesson. If governments think cash, a black market currency won't develop, if they outlaw cash and just have digital currency so they can track everything you do, the mob has already found a way around it.
Oh, yeah. And this is the irony, is the government will come in with fixed prices. And then, of course, there's naturally going to be a black market. But, hey, that's a real market. Hmm. I would suggest that the black market is the price fix that the government's put on. So, and it's throughout history, you know, and then in the collapse of Europe with World War II, the American cigarettes became the item that was used for trade.
Also soap and nylons.
Oh, yeah, but mainly the cigarette. A box, a carton of cigarettes would buy you a whole lot, so, yeah.
Yeah, a real bargain, especially for non-smokers.
Yes.
We'll take a look at some interesting headlines next with Bob Hoy.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. Fed officials say higher rates are needed to reach 2% inflation goal. The latest inflation numbers from the U.S. say inflation is now 3% there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is bureaucratic thinking. They just don't get it. So the Fed was, because T-bill rates were going up in the boom, the Fed was forced to raise rates. Hey, there's some irony there, because with the short rates going up higher than long rates, the yield curve inverted. And whenever the yield curve inverts, it's inevitably followed by a recession. So then why was the Fed raising short rates? Interventionist central banking, it really is mind-boggling. So, but at any rate, intrusion by the Fed will soon see to be a massive blunder. So,
Bob, isn't it true that just one interest rate hike takes up to a year and a half to be felt by the economy, and they've done half a dozen?
No, that's wrong thinking, yeah. Jim. Short rates go up during a boom. The Fed follows and raises rates. Now, my own guess here is the T-bill rate is very close to rolling over and heading down, in which case, a few months from now, the Fed will be making great noises about cutting interest rates, and that's ahead of us.
Headline from Rolling Stone, you know, that giant in the economic magazine business. The trillion-dollar grift inside the greatest scam of all time, COVID relief package.
Oh, yeah. That headline says it all. There was grifters in that like you wouldn't believe. So, yep.
Well, apparently the Canadian Revenue Agency is investigating at least 600 of its employees for taking COVID relief checks, even though they didn't qualify. They hadn't lost their jobs. They were working collecting our taxes.
Well, that's a good one, Jim. I'm pleased to hear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who would know how to work the system better than the people inside the system?
Of course. Yeah.
Headline from The Atlantic, it turns out that the debt matters after all.
Oh, yeah. When the economy begins to slow down and people's incomes start to slow down and rates are up, such as for mortgages, it gets painful. And that's where, in the party, it's fun to put on debt. It's exciting. And then comes the reality of having to service the debt.
Hmm. Now, getting back to central banks, the Bank of Canada hiked its central rate to 5%. It no longer sees inflation dropping to its target of 2% before mid-2025.
Yeah, I put that down as a keeper because I think the markets are going to move faster than the Bank of Canada expects.
Everything happens better, faster, slower than the Bank of Canada expects. Remember, they kept telling us inflation was just transitory. It would disappear like a puff of smoke.
Well, here's the central bank. Mm-hmm. Until the latest boom, for most of the decade prior to that, they were easing money because they were worried that inflation was going to go below 2%. And then all of a sudden a boom comes along and you get some distortions in the global markets and commodity prices popped up, and they've been popping down lately. But at any rate, it shows the futility of central banks trying to arrange things. I mean, it's just hopeless. They can't do it because, one, they do not have a forecasting model. Two, they just don't matter. The markets are much bigger than whatever the most aggressive central bank can do. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Headline, without inflation, the status quo collapses.
Yeah. There's a lot behind this one, Jim, because the status quo, meaning the bureaucracy, the government, all that sort of stuff, they live on taxes. And they crank up tax revenues to the point of pain. Then they can't raise such revenues any further, but their spending continues, and they then resort to currency depreciation. So inflation, so an act is often used to fund a war with some other country, and it also, under those conditions, typically, as now, it's funding a war by the government upon ordinary citizens. And this, it's going on in Canada, the United States. The warmongers have got Ukraine, and they're also waging war on the prosperity of ordinary people in each of their countries. It's very sad.
Here in Canada, the federal government under Trudeau has added 100,000 more employees. I don't know if you've seen better service if you have to deal with the government. but my question is, has the government been hiring people hand over fist to make their job creation numbers look good?
No, I doubt that it's that. They just want to expand government. That's all there is to it. More people working for them, the more power they got. Yep. And then as Ronald Reagan said decades ago, one of the scariest lines that occurs is that I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Headline, London's Canary Wharf takes brunt of real estate pain.
Yep. Major development in that Canary Wharf over many decades, but it looks like the current owners are having a little problem. And quite a few years ago, the Grants Interest Rate Advisor did a wonderful study on real estate in Manhattan after 1929, and they used the Excelsior Life Building at the time as recently built. And the pattern was that the then, at the top in 1929, equity owners and the mortgage people then, they went broke. Then the next set of equity owners and mortgage people went broke and went on through the 1940s, and it finally kind of ended in the 1950s when real estate gradually began to improve. So there are times when real estate can be a problem, and a post-bubble contraction, real estate can be a problem for a couple of decades.
London's Canary Wharf is where all the warehouses were in London in the Second World War that were bombed out. They were still bombed out when I visited London in the late 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was tremendous. The bomb damage in that city was unbelievable, and it took them so long to repair it. But every time there's been a problem with real estate in England, Canary Wharf is always the first place to feel it, it seems to me. So many buildings have gone bankrupt there.
Yep. Yep.
Now, two connected headlines. Running out of juice, unsold electric cars piling up on dealer lots, and U.S. EV market struggles with price cuts and rising inventories.
Yeah, people are finding that, like, maybe a nice ordinary car is $45,000. The equivalent in EV is about $60,000. And then they're finding that that extra amount of money that you have to pay off, you never get it back. So it's just money into the system. And the irony with electric cars is those who buy them, of course, are being virtuous because they're driving this clean car. But then the elements and metals and all the toxic stuff that goes into it means that in order to make that car, you got to mine some pretty nasty stuff and mess up the environment. And then you've got the batteries, and they can blow up in an instant. And by the way, Jim, without a moment's notice, they just blow up and turn to flame. Yeah, and then you got the problem of disposing them afterwards. So where they are pitched as environmentally virtuous, they are not. And they're also expensive. So I think, again, if we go into a recession and people then start looking at the amount of money they got and what they can afford and what really is worth owning. So I think the electric vehicle fad is probably over and is going to suffer a serious contraction.
An electric vehicle uses 277% more copper than a traditional vehicle. An EV uses 13 kilograms or 183 pounds of copper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you are.
Our final headline, Bob, I guess you'll have to put on your entertainment reporter hat. How faith-based Sound of Freedom became the summer's unlikely box office hit.
Oh, yeah. That one is quite something. It just took off, and then I'm reading that the system is resisting it, something awful. Like, where it is showing, they'll have air conditioning on at where you buy your ticket, and then as you go in, but they'll turn off the air conditioning for those who are sitting watching the movie. The whole of the system is trying to stop people from seeing the movie.
Mm-hmm. Bob, do you know what it's about?
Yeah, freedom, and the main thing, Jim, is that the system doesn't like the movie.
It just questions what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, I believe part of it's about child trafficking.
Yes.
Pretty grim.
Yeah, yeah. It shows the nasty side of what is too acceptable on the liberal Democrat side.
Hmm. Bob, I hope you have a great weekend.
Looking forward to it, and I hope you have one to yourself, Jim.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Bob loves to answer your questions. You can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.